this kind of message in my heart, and I shared it a little bit with one of my son-in-laws this past week, and I really want to see if I can bring it out for you. God changes life. Okay, we're having fun today. All kinds of things kind of going nuts. Matthew 10:39 says, he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. That verse needs to become real to us. You know the story of Joseph and Mary? It's quite a miraculous one. I kind of put it in the bulletin. Let me just recap a little bit. Joseph and Mary have many things go on to confirm their life. Joseph has four dreams of divine intervention in his life. One is to take his wife. Two is to protect the baby Jesus. Three is to get back out of Egypt and come back. And then four, to go into Galilee instead of his hometown of Nazareth. So he's getting miraculous intervention by God through dreams. And of course, the virgin birth, both of them would have known that was true. Jesus the Savior is born. Shepherds come calling, talking about angels singing, bringing significance to this birth like no other. And here's something that you may have not put together. You know, oftentimes our nativity scenes show the wise men at the manger scene, which did not happen. Most of you probably see that type of arrangement. But if you put the story of Matthew and Luke together, you're going to come up with a different time frame. Because in the book of Matthew, and Simeon and Anna are not mentioned, but in the Gospel of Luke, they are. And they're mentioned because Jesus is taken to the temple to be circumcised on the eighth day. And before they're circumcised, Simeon and Anna blessed Mary and Joseph, and they witnessed to the significance of Jesus. This is 8 days after his birth. Having been in Bethlehem, they traveled to Jerusalem. Right? If you read the book of Luke, its account, it tells you that after they had gone to Jerusalem, they returned to their hometown. They did not go back to Bethlehem. When you read the story in Matthew, you have this scene where the wise men are coming and they say, we've seen a star from the east and we're here to worship the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. You know, where is he? And they find out, well, he was born in Bethlehem. So Herod says, go to Bethlehem, and when you find him, bring me word, and I'll come and worship him too. So he sends them to Bethlehem. But the very next verse says that the wise men followed the star. And at one point, the star had been over Bethlehem, but it moved. And it took them to where the child was. And he wasn't an infant. He was a young child by the time they got to him, 6, 7 months old. So the first Christmas didn't happen in Jerusalem. It didn't happen in Bethlehem. It happened wherever Jesus was. My guess is it was in Nazareth. So these miraculous things are taking place. And when the wise men come to them, and they worship, and they tell of the prophecy concerning the star. And maybe Mary and Joseph didn't know about that. And they're like, wow, it just keeps on coming. One sign after another. I mean, we know this is a miraculous birth. They've got to know it's a virgin birth, right? I would think so. They come and they worship the child, and they give gifts. Frankincense, myrrh, gold, right? You ever wonder why they gave Jesus gifts? I mean, sometimes people say, well, it represents the threefold ministry of Jesus. Gold is king, and frankincense had to do with his priestly role, and myrrh had to do with his prophetic role of coming to die. That's all wonderful. But I really think they were giving gifts because God was supplying what they would need for a trip to Egypt. You ever think about that? That's a long trip for them. They're going to need funds. They're going to need money to be able to run from Herod's slaughtering of the innocents. You with me? You understand? So God calls wise men from the east. And if you've ever watched that story that was put together, the Star of Bethlehem, anybody? I think John and I have watched it at least 6 times each. It's an amazing story. And he identifies the wise men as the Jews who were left in Babylon with Daniel and the school that he developed, which would have been wise. And it makes all the sense in the world that Jewish heritage people would be looking for a Jewish king. It makes all the sense in the world. So Joseph and Mary's life is miraculous in its opening and all of these things that are going on. And their life was changed forever. I say that because here's the call of Matthew, or of Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, I got to stop there for a second. Before they came together, what does that mean? I don't know if you've ever grown up with this teaching that Mary was a perpetual virgin, but the scripture testifies here that they did not come together until after Jesus was born, which means they did. And the scripture testifies later on that they had other sons and daughters because Jesus was visited by them, and the book of James was written by one of them. All right? Before they came together, she was found to be a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save their people from his sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took on himself his wife, and knew her not. Here's another testimony. Hello? Knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn and called his name Jesus. Here's Mary's call. This is from Luke. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, the angel said to her, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that one, that Holy One, who is to be born of you, will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Okay, so I just took a little time there to recount for you and to show you in Scripture where Joseph and Mary are called to this task. Now, here's the thing. I got to believe that Joseph and Mary had plans of their own. They were probably thinking about getting married. Joseph probably had plans about what he was going to do for a career. Maybe he was taking over the family business. You see what I'm saying? He probably had a place picked out for them to live in. Oh, this will be our dream house. Right? Then all of these things take place. What happens to their dreams? What happens to Mary and Joseph's dreams? They're gone. They're gone. They will never realize them. God has changed their life, right? Jesus taught us to seek first the kingdom of God. Luke 9:11-9 says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This seems to be like a Visa card. Whatever you want, you get. Whatever you ask for is yours. It's like the whole world is open to you and whatever you dream and your goals will be met. Just ask. Just seek. Just knock. But keep that in context of the following verse. Luke 9:24. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Joseph and Mary could have saved their life and said no to the angel. They could have, right? They could have. They could have said, no, find yourself another patsy. You with me? Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So now we have this context in which to ask, which to seek, and which to knock. It's not about our agendas. It's not about our dreams. It's about God's dreams for us. Especially since the world is fallen. This world is sin-cursed, right? Do you realize that probably less than 2% of the world's population that has ever lived will ever fulfill their dreams? If you happen to be 18, 19 years old and a war comes along and you're sent to outer Slavovia to defend someone's whatevers, and you get killed, how many times has that happened? Don't you think their dreams and their goals for their lives ended? How about the ones that come home maimed, deformed, brain damaged? What about their dreams? What about their goals? Gone. You hear me? Gone. What if you had dreams for your son or daughter and something happened to them? Do you understand that this world has fallen? And what God had intended for dreams and goals to happen, forget it! Forget it! Stop wasting your life and your time trying to fulfill your life. This world is fallen and you've been born into it, and it's not for you to be about that. If you do, you're wasting your time. You're going to find your life. You're going to get your desires done. And where is it going to get you? Even if you gain the whole world but lose your soul, what does that profit you? Do you hear? What agenda should be in our life? Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. Let me tell you, I was sharing with my son-in-law and said, you know, it dawns on me. I was good at something. I was good at athletics. I was very good. And it all came crashing down. And some of it, maybe a lot of it, had to do with the fact that I wanted to serve God with all my heart. I wanted to go into the ministry when I was 19 years old. And here I was at Penn State thinking that would be the platform. And 4 broken bones later, my dreams are gone. Oh, I'll go this way or I'll go that way. Never had a release. And now I stand at 57 years old realizing those dreams those goals will never, ever be realized in this life. You hear me? Woe is Dale. Woe. But you know what? Probably 99% of the population is in that place. And you're probably in it too. Most of us are just living the life we have, living the life we're getting, living in the home that was available. You see what I'm saying? And we sit there and we watch programs about people getting their goals in life. We elevate Michael Jordan. I don't know why he always comes to mind, but he does. And Tiger Woods and all of these guys who made it to the pinnacle of their profession. Maybe you look at Trump or somebody in the, Obama or somebody that's in the political realm, and you say, look at what they were doing. See, and we go and we teach our children in school, you can be anything you want to be. And God's sitting back and saying, wait a minute. That's what would have happened if Adam and Eve had not fallen. Everybody would have had their dreams fulfilled. Everybody would have had their goals met. Everybody would have had purpose and meaning in their life. But not now. Not in a fallen world where greed and selfishness and the god of this world blinds sinners. Come on! This world is fallen and most people are lost. They're discouraged. And they're looking at their life and saying it's just piddling away. How many of you, honestly, could say, not me, Pastor. Everything I wanted in life, I got. All of my dreams have come true. I knew I would end up in New Jersey. I knew I'd end up in Ware Town. I knew I'd be in the job I'm doing. I couldn't wait. How many? Look. God changes lives, but we're on a rescue mission. Mary and Joseph had their game plan probably working, and God intervenes and makes something of it. You know, this movie I mentioned about Unbroken. I can't imagine, as a little boy, he says, I can't wait to be in a plane to get shot down. And I got to be 47 days in a raft and then 2 years in prison in a brutal situation. My life has absolutely changed from what I thought it would be. I can tell you, when I was a little boy, I had no idea I would end up in New Jersey in Ware Town. When I think about it, it's like, wow. I was born in Texas, raised in Virginia, went to Pennsylvania, and here I am. And all of us look at other people's lives and say, boy, they've got their act together. Do they? There are many, many sorrows behind closed doors. What am I sharing this for? It's not about us. It's not about now. It's not about us getting what we want now. It's about getting what God wants now to get people saved. Because when we get on the other side, we get it all. We get it all. We get it all then. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. John 12:25. He who loves his life will lose it. Here it is in John, saying the same thing. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Well, I hate my life. My job sucks. Right? I got it Mondays. Ugh. Right? The drudgery. Day in and day out. Doing the same thing all the time. Guess where you are? You're trying to save the old life. Did anybody get that? Did anybody hear that? You're trying to save the old life as if it has something to be saved. No. You gave up your life. You died. Now the life you live is a calling. And what is it he's trying to get? He's trying to save somebody near you. He's trying to get somebody saved that's at your job. Well, my job's terrible. It's boring. It doesn't pay much. And God's sitting there saying, it doesn't matter. What matters is that person next to you that I'm trying to reach through you. Hello? It's your neighbor. It's your family member. Hello? 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant. What? Ministers of a new covenant. You know, it's not about this world. It's about who you've become in Christ. You are ambassadors for Christ. You are the bride of Christ. You are sons and daughters of Christ. You've been given authority of Christ. You have the new kingdom to administer. You have the new covenant to present. You are divinely inspired. You have the divine nature and spark within you. No, it doesn't matter where you go. You are the light. You are the life. You are it. Do you hear that? You are it. You have it. What is it? You have Jesus. You have Jesus. You have everything. But we're so distracted. We're so focused on the goals and dreams of this life. When we got saved, we surrendered. We gave it up. And you know why we're frustrated? Because we keep living to the old marriage. We keep living to the old one. We keep expecting that one to have life. And God's sitting there saying, no, I have supernatural life waiting for you to live in. You know, some of us have retired. You could say, eat, drink, and be merry. You could say, my life is over. What do I have to offer? Oh, my gosh. You have Jesus. You have the Word of God. You have authority to heal the sick, to cast out demons. Do you have